Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I'm Amy Ravel, one of your hosts.
And I'm the other host, Kirsty Ferrugia.
We're so glad that you have made time in your week to spend with us today. We are tackling a topic that we know will hit close to home for every single person because it hits close to home for every person that's a human, and that is talking about jealousy versus contentment. And what in the world does that have to do with decluttering and intentional living and organizing and all the things that our podcast is known for? How do jealousy and contentment, you know, fall in within that? And it's not black and white. You're not either jealous or content. I think there is a scale with which we move up and down. Kirst, do you feel like maybe even over, say, the last 5 years, that your general state of jealousy versus contentment scale, whether you've moved along that? So if we think of jealousy as like the left side and contentment as the right, do you feel like where you generally sit has shifted?
I think it's really hard to generalize.
Okay, I know I said it's not black and white, but...
Well, why don't you tell us how you feel? How do you answer that question?
I think that at different stages in our life, I have felt like I sit different spots on that spectrum. I feel like when we were quite money and asset poor, and so we were, you know, newly married and working our jobs, but were relatively unskilled and, you know, just doing random jobs, that I actually sat pretty high on contentment, because even if I did see something that I was like, oh, I like that, or I see that, or I wish we could have that, we just didn't have the means. And I feel like then as we both progressed in our careers and developed more opportunities and had more income, I actually moved further up to the jealousy line, like not fully up there, but definitely erred closer. And that was because we had means, but we hadn't really worked out our purpose. We hadn't really worked out our vision. And so it was like, I just look at everybody else and think, oh, I just want a bit of everything that they have. Like, I don't want that person's life fully, but I'll have the best bit of everybody's. Mm-hmm. And the jealousy erred up. And I feel like probably in the last maybe 5 to 8 years, I've gone even better, not better, but further towards contentment, because we've really, as a family and as a couple, defined what our values are. And so we're less jealous because we don't want what other people have. We want what's best for us. Does that give some context of the thinking I had around the scale?
Yes. Yeah.
Does it help you know where you, what your journey's been with it?
Kind of. I think that I wobble all over the scale depending on what is happening in my own life, mm-hmm. and what I see in others, and how content I am within myself. So yep. I can absolutely see how it can be tied to having values and goals, absolutely see that. And but I can also see how, you know, one day something doesn't bother me and then the next day I'm really jealous for it.
Yeah.
Because of what's going on in my own head around a whole lot of different things. So, you know, one day I don't want a handbag, next day I've, you know, had a fight with Simon and I want that handbag. So I think it is actually more about the contentment within myself rather than tying it to the goals and values that I have as a human.
Yeah, and where you are in the life stage and that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I think probably everybody's a bit of both, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
The definition of jealousy is that it refers to the thoughts or feelings of insecurity, fear, and concern over a relative lack of possessions or safety. And I think my favorite word in that sentence is relative lack. So it is relative. So when I go to friends' houses whose houses are much bigger than ours and they earn more than us and their cars are newer than ours, I will be more inclined toward jealousy than I am if, you know, we're hanging out with friends who don't have that. And so I think it is that relative lack of possessions or safety.
Mm. And I actually love the rest of the wiki definition of jealousy as well, because it says jealousy can consist of one or more emotions such as anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, or disgust. And I think that sometimes within me it is like inadequacy and helplessness, like rather like. So sometimes jealousy can be turned in, can be turned inwards into like, what do I need to achieve that I see in others?
Rather and is that the inadequacy? Is that that?
Yeah, like, well, there's no way I could put, like, how can I earn $500,000 a year? Like, when am I ever going to be able to get to that point? Because it's not within my frame of reference. And helplessness, like, so I think it's really interesting, and I absolutely agree about the relativeness of it. And I think that that's why I'm so committed, like, to not watching TV shows that force a particular view, or and I don't get like I unsubscribe to junk mail and like emails from stores and stuff around what I'm missing out on if I don't buy into the latest greatest craze, because that's when I'm all like, oh I wish I had the money to be able to do that. And I actually do. Like, this is such a first world problem. Like, it's just, let's just put it right out there at the start that most of what we're talking about today is totally a first world problem and sounds very, very privileged.
I think that many of our consumerism and consumerist habits can be boiled down to jealousy, is that we look at what someone else has, or we look at what someone else we perceive that they have. It's not even what they actually have. And we feel like we need to get it. It's the old keeping up with the Joneses. It's going, oh, well, I want what they've got. And what we don't know is, like, we've had discussions with the kids where they say, why can't we have a better house? You know, so many of our friends have awesome houses with two living rooms, and they've got a pool, and they've got this, and they've got that, and they've got a media room, and they've got room for a pool table. And we're like, yes, but we don't know at what cost. We don't know if they have a $1 million mortgage. We don't know if they're actually in jobs that they hate so that they can pay for a house that they love. And we've talked to them about the fact that Cal and I choose to be in jobs that we absolutely love, even though we could go into jobs that pay more, but our values don't align with that. So, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and that consumerism can be such a great chance to stop and reflect on the why. Like, why do I feel that? And what's the full story? You know, we always talk about insta-perfect. You don't get the full story often. So what else could be going on that you have chosen to focus on differently or that you struggle with too? It's not always that you've got it sorted.
No, 100%. And I have to say, do that in my head quite a lot, like have that similar conversation that you have with the boys
yep.
in my head. Like when I see people driving around in cars that I actually don't even want. But I'm like, how? How do they have the house that they have, the cars yep. that they have? How do they go out to dinner, have takeaway, buy everything that they ever want on Iconic? How do they do that? And I have to go, that's right, I don't know how they do that. Like, I don't need to know how they do that. It's none of my business.
Because
the reality is maybe they've lost both their parents.
I was just about to say that. Yes.
Horrific things have happened to yeah. them that they are now in a situation that they would gladly give up
mm-hmm.
to have the other thing restored to them.
Yeah,
so we 100%. Just don't know. And we don't know how they're sleeping at night, you know, like
yeah.
if they're able to sleep at night because of the debt that's hanging mm-hmm. over them. Like it's just let them be them, let me be me, and mm-hmm. let me do the work in myself to move more towards contentment.
Yeah. And I think, Kes, that we have like a overarching jealousy that, you know, that is what marketing often sells into is our insecurities, our incompetencies, and that stirs up that jealousy, that inadequacy, helplessness, all of those things we talked about before. So sometimes it can be that generalized, oh, I wish I had a better car, I wish I had money to get my hair colored, but I do it at home, or I don't do it at all, or everyone seems to be getting their nails done, I've never had my nails done, I couldn't afford that. So you can be like the generalized jealousy. And I think that is really challenging, and I don't think that's a healthy place to live in, because I don't think that out of jealousy come all these wholesome and helpful emotions and thoughts. But I think there's also that really specific jealousy when you start to compare yourself to one particular person, and that can ruin a friendship, that can ruin relationship, where all of a sudden it's like, well, everything about them is what I want, and now I don't like them because they just make me feel like crap, but it's actually nothing to do with them. So there's two types, I think.
Oh, yeah, and a whole, yeah, and everything in between.
Yes, the full spectrum.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was talking to a beautiful friend of mine the other day, and she was telling me some really exciting news that's happening with her and some opportunities that are coming her way, and I was so excited for her, and I was also, I want that too, but not out of jealousy. Like I didn't want it. I've been really dwelling on this a lot and going, am I jealous of her? I don't think I am, because I'm so excited for her. I'm also think that there's plenty to go on around in the world, and so yeah. I want that too. Like,
yeah. So Kes, do you think there's a difference then? Is what you're describing jealousy? Because is jealousy about I don't want you to have it and I want to have it? Or is jealousy sometimes I want that too? Do you know what I mean? Like there's a difference in saying you don't deserve that, but I do. And oh, I want that as well.
And I don't think that that's jealousy in that I don't want you to have it. Mm. I think jealousy is like that anger, resentment, like why does she get it and I don't? And mm-hmm. or why do or I'm never going to be able to get that, and I'm really upset because I really, really want that. And so I don't – that's why I'm like I don't actually think that what I'm feeling towards what my friend is achieving is jealousy, because – I'm not angry or resentful or feeling inadequate or feeling helpless or disgust that I don't get that too. I'm actually like inspired by what she's doing and what she's being able to achieve. And I'm like, and I can do that too. Like that it's not a comparison. She's going to do it so brilliantly in her own way, and I am going to do it differently and equally brilliant in my own way. Mm. But it was just interesting because I was like, is this coming from a place of jealousy?
Yeah.
Or is this coming from a place of like, you know, like, I keep thinking about like when Harry Met Sally movie, when they're in the diner.
In the restaurant. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. And the other person goes, I'll have what she's having because that was really good.
I love that scene.
And so I kind of think that that's what was going on for me. I was just like, I know I can do that too. So I'll have that too. And I really, like, I just go, I don't think that was coming from a place of jealousy, more from a place of like, oh, that's on the menu? I'll get that too.
That is awesome. And I think what you've described too is that little process of the check-in, like you've done the check-in. Is this jealousy or what is this? Because if it's jealousy, how do I reframe it? How do I test myself or, you know, hold myself to my own standards? Or actually, is this just a normal human emotion and I can reframe that? And can I be inspired by it? Can I set some goals for it? Can I celebrate where my friend is at? Because, yeah, that what you've described is quite different to I want what she's having because I'm so inadequate. I'm nothing without that. I can't be her friend without that. I'm no good. No one will like me. All of those things as well.
Yeah.
One of the things I think is really helpful when we are erring towards jealousy, I'm not sure that, correct me if I'm wrong, Kirst, I'm not sure that there's any kind of philosophy that would say jealousy is a really positive emotion. I can't think of any that would say that that's the case. I think there are certainly expressions like you've just said of inspiration, of motivation that can come from that. But jealousy in and of itself. And a really great way to combat that inner green beast is to practice gratitude. And the gratitude can be on behalf of someone else. So you could be doing, I'm so grateful that my friend has been able to achieve that because I know how important that is. And you can, you know, practice that gratitude. Or you can practice the gratitude of, I'm so grateful that I have this. I'm so grateful that I have choice. I'm so grateful that I have my basic needs met. Like, gratitude is a really awesome thing to flip to when you start to feel jealous.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And I think that it is really important to recognize how you're feeling. Like, because jealousy in and of itself, like, as you said, it's quite a common human reaction. It is being able to stop and recognize that that's how you're feeling and how you're wanting to respond to that emotion, because your emotions are fine. Every emotion is fine. You're allowed to feel angry. You're allowed to feel resentful. You're allowed to feel inadequate, although we hope you don't ever feel that. And same with helpless and disgust. Like, you can't stop your feelings. You can, however, learn to acknowledge them and recognize them for what they are and figure out where they're coming from and what it is that you want to do with that emotion.
Yeah, and bring it out into the light, because our emotions that we hide often come with shame. And so if you're feeling shame that you're a jealous person, actually bring that out into the light, because the grass is – so here's a really cool thing I heard the other day, Kirst, about the saying the grass is always greener on the other side. Apparently, and I have not – full disclosure, done my research on this, but it was a horticulturalist that was sharing it, is that grass, when viewed from a certain distance away, will always look greener and fuller than exactly the same grass that you're standing on when they're identical. And it's got something to do with the density of the grass or the color of the grass. And he said it actually is true. It does look greener. However, it is not. It is an illusion. And I really, like, I thought that's cool from a literally, you know, horticultural perspective. It does look greener, but it's not a true reflection of the truth.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it is really important to go, well, why am I feeling this way?
Like, yeah.
And what am I going to do about it? Because you can absolutely buy into consumerism. You can listen to the ads. You can, you know, go, well, yeah, I want what she's having because I want to keep up with her because that's what's fueling me, not because I'm inspired to do things my way.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, and let's take it away from that circumstance with my friend. Like, let's go, you know, your friend walks in with a Louis Vuitton bag, like, and you're like, oh, that's a really pretty bag. And she spent $5,000 on that. So I have to, I need to keep up with her. Or you get an email saying, hey, this is on sale and you're going to look really amazing with this, you know, new makeup or new dress or whatever. Why are we buying into it? Is it out of jealousy? And if it is that, then what can you, what thoughts do you need to process and where is that stemming from? Is it because you're feeling insecure or you have fear or you have, you know, you have that relative lack? And I think that, that relative lack, Amy, is that perspective on the grass.
Yes. Yeah.
But why is it that you're wanting to do that? And does it align with your values? So coming back to what Amy said, like, is spending $5,000 on a Louis Vuitton bag, like, does that align with your values? If it does, go for it. Buy that Louis Vuitton bag. But if it doesn't align with your values or if it is coming from a place of jealousy that you're thinking that you need to keep up with the Joneses, and, i.e. your best friend or some rando that you've seen on Instagram, why? Why? Like, let's dig into that insecurity, let's dig into that fear, let's dig into that relative lack and figure out what's actually going on underneath that, because there's always something going on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And I think, like, we've done really well at expanding on jealousy. And so maybe if we shift our attention to the contentment side of it so that we know what contentment looks like. Contentment is a state of happiness and satisfaction. And so we've talked about whether we might do the next episode as happiness versus joy, because there's some things to unpack in that. So we may not fully unpack the happiness versus joy today, but let's talk mostly around contentment. And if I think of something that is content to me, it almost seems like it is, you know, when you're eating a big meal and you reach that point of contentment where you're like, I've had enough and I still feel good. And then you have like that one more serve or another piece of garlic bread or whatever, and you're like, oh, I've lost that contentment because I've actually been gluttonous or whatever. Mm-hmm. That feeling of contentment is a really it's finely balanced, because it is difficult to stay in contentment. It takes practice to stay in contentment. It takes practice to know. Yeah, it doesn't take much for you to tip away from contentment, and it doesn't take much for you not to get – like it's so – it's like I'm picturing like a seesaw, mm-hmm, and it's like getting that seesaw to balance with neither end on the ground. So, yeah, let's talk. What does contentment look like, Kirst?
I think for me, contentment – both of these, jealousy and contentment, can come back to knowing your identity,
mm-hmm,
and like knowing who you are and what brings you joy, mm-hmm, and what brings you happiness even, and what brings you, like, what are your values and what are your goals in life. So I think that way, when you know that stuff, then you can make decisions based from that.
You can,
like, there is absolutely no point me trying to be Amy because I'm nothing like her.
Mm. Yeah.
And
if you tried to be me and you achieved it, you wouldn't be content.
No. And so knowing who it is that I'm uniquely made to be. And that's not saying that I don't need to do work to continue to figure out who it is that I'm meant to be. But I at least know that I'm not Amy, like, and I'm not Simon, I'm not Oliver, I'm not Emily, I'm Kirsty. And so figuring out who Kirsty is and what makes her happy and what makes her content and what my values are and what it is that I'm the goals that I'm trying to achieve can really help with being content.
Yes.
So, you know, if I know, you know, we're choosing to build a pool at the moment and we could have gone completely all out, but that didn't align with our goal of having money to go on a holiday. And I also don't expect the pool to fulfill all of my contentment needs. It's not going to make me not want to go on holidays. I'm still going to want to be a traveler. Yes. But it is going to make it, hopefully, will get some energy out of my children when they come after school.
And it aligns with your values of spending time as a family, being hospitable, enjoying time together, like all of those things.
Yeah. And so we didn't get a pool because two of our best friends are getting pools, because that would be silly. We could just go use our two best friends' pools instead. But we got a pool because it aligned with what it is that we need in our family at the moment. But I'm not expecting the pool to bring contentment to every aspect of my life. Yeah. And I think that's the same with a handbag or, you know, Mother's Day presents or presents for my birthday or Christmas. If I'm expecting them to bring me contentment, then that is an indication to me that I need to do some more work on myself, because things are never going to bring contentment to me.
And Kirst, I think, like, in that initial description we talked about being a relative lack of possessions or safety, is sometimes we just get that all wrong, possessions and safety, because safety might be that you have an oh no bank account that's got a certain amount of money in it should something go wrong. But if you're also trying to fix your jealousy with possessions, you're possibly making your jealousy and of not feeling safe higher. So they actually can really bump up against each other if you don't get that balance right and you don't understand what your values are. One question that I think would be really helpful for you as a listener to you know, rumble over in the next week is the question, what would it take for you to be content? What would it take for you to be content? And I think if you journaled or thought about it in the shower or while you're going for a drive or something like that, it's a really confronting question. Really confronting question. But a really awesome question to help you understand who you are, what your purpose is, why you're here on this earth. What would it take for you to be content?
Mm. Yeah, and it is really challenging. And as you said, it is that fine balance because, like, I know some people would go, oh, I'd be content if all of my children got along.
Mm-hmm.
And that can turn on a dime.
Well, yeah, it's not within your control.
On a dime in my house. One minute mm-hmm. they're best friends, the next minute they don't want to speak to each other yeah. ever again until the next minute when they're best friends again. And so, yeah, it really, really does need to come from within because it needs to be stuff that you have control over.
One thing that I absolutely love doing is listening to podcasts and reading books and watching documentaries about immigrants. There's a special level of determination that comes with being an immigrant. I know that my grandparents immigrated to Australia from Europe, and you don't come with much. Like, my dad immigrated as a young boy, so he's an immigrant as well. And read stories, listen to stories about immigrant families who have chosen to leave everything behind and come with just the few possessions they need for the hope of a better future and the contentment that can be had when you leave everything and you come with a little bit. It is really, like, it's just one of those, I don't know, I just love reading immigrant stories. It ties me quite strongly to my own family history, but yeah. I don't actually have any I can recommend off the top of my head because it's like just a pool of goodness, but it is worth just having a look around.
I think in that same vein, like looking around and realizing the first world that we live in can be sobering.
Yeah.
And even like we're going through an election, we're in election phase in Australia at the moment. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday about the how to vote and choices that we can make and whether or not we preference ourselves over preferencing the least of those in our society. And, yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah, that's really that's awesome.
And that's where, like, I go, well, where does jealousy lead us? Like, what, as you said before, like, where is any positivity in the jealousy other than in inspiration, but to what end? And that, I think that that's what's important. If it's to your end that's detrimental actually to your mental health or your financial health, then it's not of worth. But if it... And that's where I'm like, well, where does this end? So, and I think that that's where it's really good to stop and ask yourself, like, what is actually going on? Am I jealous? Is that why I'm tempted to buy this handbag? Is this, like, would I be content if I didn't buy this handbag? Would I be content without this makeup? Would I be content without this dress?
Yeah.
And questioning your choices, like, and being really intentional. Like, we always come back to, let's be intentional. We really want to encourage everybody to be intentional. And again, like, absolutely no problem if you're being intentional in buying a $5,000 Louis Vuitton bag. Like, amazing. Go for it. And then there's absolutely no judgment on what it is that you're purchasing, whether it be a pool, a house, a handbag, makeup. There's no judgment. We just really want to encourage you to be intentional about your choices and stop and figure out what's driving this purchasing behavior. Because if it's jealousy, then maybe it's time to do some work on yourself as to where that's coming from and why it's coming to you.
One of the things,
contentment, go for it.
Yeah. One of the things, Kes, that I have noticed in myself is sometimes if we've got friends who have beautiful houses and I, you know, we'll go for lunch and then we'll come home and I like look at my house and just think, oh, it's just so old and there's so many things that are not working. At the moment we have mice and I was like horrified that we had mice, and then I caught up with friends on the weekend and two of them had mice as well locally. And I was like, oh, that means that they're, you know, everywhere, and that's just hideous.
And it's not the state of your house. It's not how old your house is that's causing the mice.
No, but the reason that we've now got mice inside is because in the most recent rains, our house shifted and it shifted probably only like 2 or 3 centimetres, but it's created a gap. So we found the gap because we've been like, where are these mice getting in? We're really miffed. We haven't had mice for years and years and years and years. And then we're like, oh, one of the doors wouldn't close properly. And we're like, okay, the house has done a bit of a shift and whatever. And then we went, oh, could that be it? And then we found the gap where the wall has completely given us a gap. Anyway, sometimes when we're out with friends, we see their beautiful houses and we come home and I'm like, my house is not very pretty. No one ever walks away from our house and goes, oh, my gosh, isn't their house so beautiful? I want a house like that when I grow up. Nobody says that about my house. My house is there to make you feel better about your house, actually. But one of the things...
It's a lovely, hospitable home.
Correct. It's the ugliest house on the street, but it's warm, it's safe, we don't have a massive mortgage hanging over our heads. I'm content, right? And this is what I have to keep reminding myself, is I have to act in contentment to counteract the jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
So the jealousy actually shows as insecurity, not particularly in jealousy, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to then invite them to our house because their house is so amazing and there's like, you know, all these places the kids can hide and disappear and go and play, and if they come to our house we're all in one room. And to overcome that for myself, I'm like, I just have to invite them over, because otherwise I'm telling a whole big story about how they're going to drive up and think, oh my gosh, it's such an ugly house, and they're going to walk in and go, oh, it's tiny, and all of that is probably untrue. If we invite people in and we're hospitable and we enjoy their company and all of those things, they're the types of friends we have. And so if I act on my own contentment, which is, yes, we could totally afford to move house and buy a bigger, better house, but actually at the moment we're content, I have to act on it to reinforce it. And that's how it works for me. I have to sometimes, when I think I've got nothing nice to wear, I still have to go out for dinner with my friends because my friends don't care that I'm wearing the same thing I've worn the last 5 times we went out for dinner.
Yeah.
And I think what I mean? You just got to act on it sometimes.
Yeah, 100%. And equally so, like being really clear on what is your triggers. Like, as I said at the start, like I don't subscribe to very many emails because it actually triggers jealousy in me.
Yeah.
I don't go out, you know, I don't have, I choose not to spend time with people who are naturally jealous people, like who display their jealousy openly, because that isn't contentment for me.
Yeah, doesn't help you live the life that you want to live.
No, and so it is like cutting off the legs of jealousy before it takes hold. Like, how do I counteract this? And then also, like, well, how do I stop it from starting? And then doing your, like, going, okay, I'm going to act in contentment. I am going to invite people into my home. I am going to be excited for my friends when they buy Louis Vuitton bags, like, because that's not my choice. Anyway, we hope that that has been helpful for you today.
Yes. It's been helpful for me. So, you know, at least one person that's been part of this is,
no,
I think it
two
is.
Two people.
Two. Sorry, yeah. Both of us find it helpful.
So we've got a review from Jenna Benner 85, and that's from Apple Podcasts Australia, and it's called Control and Emotions. Oh, thanks, Ben, for finding this one for us. Appropriate.
I know. How funny. What how an appropriate review.
So it says, thank you for discussing the topics of control and emotions, separate episode. It certainly made me think and rethink my situation and how I'm not alone in this. You have given me inspiration and ideas on how I can take control of my life and how I am living. Thank you for keeping it real and discussing topics that we often just can't discuss with others. Loving your podcast. Well, Jenna, we have provided another one that people don't often talk about. Jealousy and contentment.
And can I tell you one thing we forgot to mention, Kirst, is you know how before we were talking about that, like jealousy versus I wish you didn't have it and I wish I had it instead. That's actually envy.
Envy.
So envy is when you don't want someone else to have it and you want it instead, and jealousy is when you want it as well, generally speaking. But I just thought I'd throw that in at the end.
Well, cool. Maybe I am jealous of my friend then, but not envious.
Yeah, that's true, but not envious because you still want what's good for her.
Yeah. And but then that's where I go, oh, but I just don't like, maybe it's just that like jealousy is always that negative connotations. Mm. And again, I'm not feeling anything negative about this conversation with my friend. I'm only feeling inspired. And hey, if that's on the menu, I'll have that too.
Yeah, I'll have what she's having. Well, until next week, you can have what we're having by listening to like the 300 episodes before this. You can always scroll back, find an episode that piques your interest. There's topics that you can do. There's guests. We've got a whole suite that you can pick from. And until next week, happy decluttering.
Amy, what are we going to give them to inspire them to do a review? I've got one. If you do own a Louis Vuitton bag, I want you to do a review.
That's the best. Even if you own a fake one, we want you to do a review.
If you got one from Thailand, you're free to do a review.
That is awesome. Well, I won't be leaving a review because my handbag is from Kmart, but I look forward to seeing who else leaves a review this week.
Yay. Hope you have a lovely week, people. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom. We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.